Good morning. Welcome to B'nai Assurance Based Service Program, Learning with Rav Sacks. Just a few announcements. If you've ordered CDs, please pick them up from the two boxes on the windowsill in the Beis Medrash. Just leave the envelope and take the CD out that you ordered. If anybody's interested in sponsoring a share, please see Henry or myself. I just wanted to announce that on October 30th, Motzei Shabbos, October 30th, the Beis Medrash program will be having a Malava Malka downstairs in the social hall, and it's an honor to have Rav Osher Weiss from Eretz Yisrael address us. Reserve the date. That's October 30th, the Motzei Shabbos. Rav Sacks will be here next Sunday in Hashem, and his topic will be a continuation of Kiddush and Havdalah Part 3. This morning's share is being sponsored by Cheryl and Aaron Lieberman in memory of Yaakov Azriel, Ben Sima, and Aaron David. And the share is also being sponsored by Lori and Barry Frank in memory of Lori's mother, Dora Waxlack, Devara Bas Aaron Aleha Shalom. B'chavad Gadol Rav Sacks.
Last year we were discussing the Gemara Brachos and Davchav, Shavuos Davchav, that tells us that women are obligated in the mitzvah of Kiddush. Even though we would have thought that Zochres Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho, the mitzvah of Kiddush is a mitzvah seisha azman grama, and therefore based on the Mishnah and Kiddush, women should be exempt. The Gemara tells us the drasha that we're all familiar with, that we sing each Lel Shabbos, Zochra V'Shamor B'Dibor Echad Namru, Kol Sheishno B'Shmira, Yeshno B'Zechira. The Torah tells us in Aseret Sedibros the need to observe Shabbos. In Aseret Sedibros in Parshas Yisro, Zochar Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. In Ve'eschanon, Shomer Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. To tell us whoever is obligated in Shmira Shabbos is obligated as well in Zechira Shabbos. Shmira is a reference to refraining from doing malacha. That is incumbent upon men and women alike. And so too the mitzvah of Zochar Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho applies to women equally as men. The Gemara, however, could be assessed in the following light. How is it that we know, in fact, that women are obligated in Shomer Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho, which is the very starting point of the Gemara? Since women are obligated in Shmira, women are therefore obligated in Zechira as well. How do you know that statement, that women are obligated in Shomer Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho? One possibility is the following. What the Ramban writes in Aseres HaDibros, in Shmos and Perachof, in Parshas Yisro, that Shomer is an Isra Lo Saseh. The Gemara tells us quite often, when you find the words of Lo, Hishomer, Pen, or Al, that is considered to be a Lo Saseh, not an Asay. If that's true, then the answer is obvious. Shomer Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho is a reference to a Lo Saseh. When it comes to an Isra Lav, there is no exemption of Zman Grama, and therefore, obviously, women are obligated in Shomer, so too they're obligated in Zachor. One, however, could disagree with this chiddush of the Ramban. The Gemara tells us that regarding Shabbos as well as Yom Tov, one who engages in malacha not only violates a lav of lo sasu chom malacha, a Yom Tov chom malacha savod lo sasu, but there's a violation of an essay as well. In fact, the Gemara tells us in Beitz and Avchesim Abeis, that's why you can't apply the principle of essay dochalos essay to Yom Tov, because refraining from malacha on Yom Tov is not only a lav, it's also an essay, an ein essay docholos essay, ve essay. So the Gemara often tells us, when it comes to Yantif, Malacha is a lav and an essay, and the Gemara assumes the same is true when it comes to Shabbos as well. What is the essay of Malacha regarding Shabbos and Yantif? So there are many possibilities. The Torah tells us, Shabboson, Tishbos. Tosus writes in Shabbos and Daf Samach Tes, Ushmartem es haShabbos. That's the Chiddush Tosus. Ushmartem es haShabbos ki kodesh ilochem. That's an essay of Shabbos. That's a great Chiddush. That even though it's true at times when the Torah tells us Hishamar pen, that is in love, nonetheless when it comes to Shamor or Shmartem, that is considered to be an essay. According to Tosus, one could ask the following question then. If Shomer Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho, comparable to Ushmartem, as Tosus writes in Shabbos Samach Tes, is considered to be an essay. So therefore, how then do you understand what the Gemara tells us? Hani neshei ho ve'isnehu b'shmira isnehu nami b'zechira. How do you know that women are included in Shamar Yom HaShabbos B'Kadsho? According to the Ramban, it's Nisrlav. You understand very well. According to Tosfos, however, if it's an essay, shouldn't we argue that also is considered to be a mitzvah essay, Shahazman Grama? And therefore, from where do we derive that women who are obligated in Shamar are obligated in Zohar? This issue hinges upon a further machlokas between Tosfos and the Ran and the Sugya in Kedush Nandav Lamed Aleph. As mentioned, Malacha on Shabbos and Yom Tov is not only a lav, it's also an essay. And everyone agrees, women certainly are included in the Isra lav of Lo Sasu Kol Malacha, or as mentioned on Yom Tov, Kol Malacha Zavoda Lo Sasu. What about the essay of Malacha? Are women included in that essay, or are they exempt? Why is that so fundamentally important? Because, as I just mentioned, the Gemara tells us in Beitz and Daf Ches, the Gemara tells us in Shabbos Daf Chav Daled, that you can't apply the principle of Essay Docholos Essay to Yontif, because Yontif is a lav then an essay. Let's assume, for example, a person has Shemen Sreifa, the Mishnah that we recite on each Lal Shabbos. You have Truma that becomes Tameya, and its tone Sreifa must be burnt. The Mishnah tells us that you can't be Sorev Shemen Sreifa B'Yontif, even though there's a mitzvah of Sreifa, the Eishti Srofu, but Ein Esei, Docholos Esei V'Esei. Or the Gemara writes in Beitz and Avches and Mudbeis, let's assume, for example, a person does Shchita on Yom Tov. Shchita is Meleches Ochon Efesh. And the person did not prepare the dirt for the mitzvah of Kisui Hadam. Can any malacha be violated in order to access the dirt to fulfill the mitzvah of Kisui Hadam? The Gemara tells us, if that entails a malacha, certainly not. The mitzvah of Kisui Hadam cannot be docha disrav malacha nyantif because ein esei docha los esei vesei. Tosfos in Kedushin Daf Lamed Aleph raises the following kasha. What is the obligation of women when it comes to malacha on Shabbos and Yantif? Tosfos assumes that women are obligated obviously in the lav, but they are exempt from the esei. And therefore, Tosfos comments, all of those the Gemaras that tell us that on Yom Tov you cannot apply the principle of Essei Docha Lo Sasei, because Yom Tov is a Lo Sasei V'Essei, if a woman will perform that activity, that practice, why not assume Essei Docha Lo Sasei? Because women are exempt from the essay of Malacha on Shabbos and Yom Tov. That is Tosfos' Kasha. That's a very great Kiddush. That even when it comes to malacha on Shabbos and Yom Tov, women are obligated in the lav, but they are exempt from the essay. That's Tosfos' assumption. Tosfos writes the following teretz, that it's true. Women are obligated in the lav, exempt from the essay. However, one thing is clear. If, for example, malacha on Yom Tov is not only forbidden as a lav, but also an essay, Tosfos coins the term that halav olim. That means the lav is fortified. The lav is strengthened to the point that an essay cannot suspend that lav. Just as the Gemara suggests at the beginning of Yivamos, that a mitzvah essay cannot be docha lav sheishvo kares, a mitzvah essay cannot be docha a lav which is coupled with an essay, even if the individual, technically speaking, is exempt from the essay. That's Tosfos' answer. But Tosfos assumes a very great chiddush, that when it comes to Meleches Shabbos, Meleches Yom Tov, women are obligated in love, but they're exempt from the essay. We treat that essay as a mitzvah say shazman grama. And the Ran disagrees. The Ran in that sugya in Kedushin Daf Lamed Daled maintains that certainly is not true. When you have an act, for example, malacha, which is forbidden as a love and an essay, anyone who is included in the love is automatically included in the essay as well. What is the purpose of the essay? In order to fortify, to support, to bolster the love. And therefore, the essay is simply a function of the love. Whoever is obligated in the love is obligated in the essay. And therefore, the Ran writes that women are obligated in all aspects of Shabbos, not only the love, but even the essay of Malach as well. So, a critical machlokes between the Ran versus Tosfos, whether women are obligated in the essay of Malach on Shabbos and Yom Tov. According to Tosfos, no, but according to the Ran, absolutely yes. Because the Ran comments, you don't view the lav and essay independently. But number one, they go hand in hand. And which is the koveya, which is the determining mitzvah? The mitzvah is lo saseh. Whoever is obligated in the lav is also obligated in the essay as well. I once mentioned in an earlier shiur that this has to be assessed in light of the Ramban on that sugya. Because the Ramban in Kedushin Daf Lamed Aled raises a different question. There we know the Gemara tells us when you're dealing with the mitzvah saseh, she'ein hazman grama, not time bound at all, certainly women are obligated. And the Gemara gives several unusual examples of a mitzvah saseh, she'ein hazman grama. One, for example, is the mitzvah of hashalas aveda. The other is the obligation to erect makale gagecha, a fence around the house. What's unique about those cases, or even the third example the Gemara gives of Shiluach HaKan, the Ran is bothered by difficulty. Those are indicators that women are obligated in mitzvah seh shein hazman grama. I'll tell you why women are obligated in all three of those cases. Hashavas Aveda, or the obligation of Makal Gagecha, or the obligation of Shiluach HaKan. You know why? Because all three of those also have an Isser Lo Saseh. When it comes to mitzvah Shavas Aveda, it's not just simply an essay, but there's a lav of Lusuch Alis Aleim. The same is true when it comes to Makal Gagecha, there's Nisra of Simas Damin. The same thing is true when it comes to Shiluach HaKan. All three of those cases, the Ramban writes, are an Isser Lav. So I'll tell you, of course, women are obligated in those mitzvahs because of the Lo Saseh. Why does the Gemara mention that those are models of a mitzvah saseh she'ein hazman grama? So the Ramban writes the following Kiddush. At first glance, it sounds like the opposite of the Ram. The Ramban writes the following. Well, look, you have an essay and you have a los essay. The two will go together. Whoever is obligated in one is obligated in the other. Whoever is exempt from one is exempt from the other. But what is the koveya? What is the determining factor? Is the essay a function of the lav? Is the lav a function of the essay? You know what the Ramban writes? Everything is predicated on the essay. If women would be exempt from the essay, they would be exempt from the lav. So therefore, the fact that they're obligated is an indicator that women are obligated in the essay. So you take a step back and you look, didn't the Ram say the exact opposite? The Ram said you can't discriminate between the lav and the essay. Who's ever obligated in the lav of Malach is obligated in the essay. The Ramban writes the opposite is true. The determining factor is the essay. Who's ever obligated in the essay also is obligated in the love. If you're exempt from the essay, you're exempt from the love. It seems as though at first glance that the Ran and the Ramban, although they agree that you can't discriminate between the two, who's ever obligated in one is obligated in the other, whoever is exempt from one is exempt from the other, but which is the determining factor? Is it the essay or is it the los essay? The Ran writes it's the love, the Ramban writes it's the essay. Perhaps there's no machlokis at all. Perhaps it depends on the very nature of the mitzvah. If the Torah is addressing a mitzvah saseh which is bikum v'aseh, where the Torah demands an act, a kiyum ha-mitzvah, in such a case there it's very reasonable, as the Ramban writes, that the starting point is v'aseh. Let me ask you very simply. There's a mitzvah of hashavas aveda. And in order to support the hashavas aveda, what does the Torah say? Lo sucho lihisalim. If you see that there's a lost object, don't walk by and ignore it. A person has to act. If I will ask you, which is primary, which is secondary? Which is considered to be the koveya? So what's the starting point? Would you argue we begin with an iser of lo sucho lihisalim, and then the Torah posits a mitzvah, hashavas aveda? Certainly not. No? The opposite is true. We begin with a mitzvah, hashavas aveda. In order to see to it that we'll be very meticulous about the hashavas aveda, then the Torah supports by lo sucho lihisalim. But what if you're dealing with an essay which is not bikum v'essay, but rather it's an iser essay, the sheva altase, such as malacha? There is very reasonable to argue that the opposite is true. When it comes to the iser, of course the lav is the most chamur. The lav of Shabbos is karis, lav yontif is malkus. What is the purpose of the essay? It doesn't demand an act, but rather to refrain from doing malacha. If you're dealing with a mitzvah that posits an obligation to refrain, then very mistaber that the lo saseh should be the koveh, not the essay. And therefore the Ran and the Ramban are in perfect agreement that you can't discriminate between lav and essay, but depending on the nature of the mitzvah, sometimes the essay will determine, other times it will be a function of the lav. So therefore, getting back to our application, the Gemara says that women are obligated in Shomer Yom HaShabbos V'Kadsho, How do we know that that is true? So you have two possibilities. If you assume Shomer is alive, then of course, women are obligated in those essay. If you assume as Tosus writes, and Shabbos Tav Samach Tes, Shomer is an essay, then you have to argue as the Ran does, but since the essay is a reference to refraining from Malacha, women are obligated in the essay of Malacha, just as they're obligated in the Lav. And hence the Gemara assumes simply that women are obligated in Shomer Siyama Shabbos Takadsho, and therefore they're obligated in Zachar as well. Those are the two very different ways of understanding that Gemara in Brachos and Daf Chav in Shuas and Daf Chav. So the Gemara tells us explicitly, women are obligated in the mitzvah of Kiddush. What about other mitzvos of Shabbos? What about, for example, Shabbos Shudis? What about Lechem Mishnah? Are women are obligated in those mitzvos as well? So both Rabbeinu Tam and the Ran write that absolutely yes. Women are obligated in Suda Shabbos. Women are obligated in Lechem Mishnah. On what basis? This is the machlokas, however. The Ran writes in Shabbos on the Sugin of Kuf Yud Zayin Mud Beis the following. That just as the Gemara tells us, Zachar v'shamra b'dibarechad namru, and that means women who are obligated in aspects of Malacha are obligated in Zachar Yom HaShabbos Lakadsho. The Gemara's example is Kiddush. After all, Kiddush is a mitzvah min haTorah. But it doesn't limit itself to Kiddush. It applies to other aspects and elements of Shabbos as well. And therefore, based on Zachar v'shamar, women are obligated in Suda Shabbos, women are obligated in Lechem Mishnah. After all, we assume the halacha Lechem Mishnah certainly is Drabbanon. Even Suda Shabbos we assume is a mitzvah Drabbanon, just as on a level of Daraisa. Zachar v'shamar, the same thing applies when it comes to the mitzvos Drabbanon of Shabbos as well. That's the Chiddush of the Ran. Zachar v'shamar is not limited to Kiddush, it embraces even Suda Shabbos and Lechem Mishnah. Rabbi Yotam gives a very different reason for Lechem Mishnah and Suda Shabbos. Why is it that we're obligated to have Lechem Mishnah? As you know, the Gemara tells us Shabbos Kuf Yizayin, that is one of the mitzvos we fulfill on Shabbos Nyantif as a Zecher Laman. The same thing the Gemara tells us when it comes to Suda Shabbos, based on the Pasuk of Ichlu Hayom. Rabbi Yotam writes that Suda Shabbos and Lechem Mishnah a Zecher Laman. And therefore, Rabbi Yotam writes the Chiddush, Afen Hayo Bo Sohanes. Women were included in the nace of the man as well, and just as the Gemara is willing to apply Afen Habos Nes to Ner Chanukah and Dalet Kosos and Kriyas HaMegillah, Rabbeinu Tam adds to this list Lechem Mishnah, Suda Shabbos, based on the principle of Afen Habos Nes. So both agree that Nashim are certainly Mechuyavos. The question simply is the reason. Whether you can expand this drasha of Zachar v'Shamar, or whether it's based on an independent reason of Afen Hayu v'Oso Hanes. Now what about the mitzvah of Havdalah? Is that included in Zachar v'Shamar b'dibur echad nemru? Is the source of Havdalah Zachar Yisim HaShabbos Lakadsho? So that I mentioned in the last year is a machlokas Rishonim as well. The Rambam writes that the mitzvah of Zachar Yom HaShabbos Lakadsho in Perech of Tesef of HaShabbos, the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos in Kuf Nun Hei, tells us that the mitzvah is Zechira Shabbos, Bechnisaso, Uviyatsiyaso. When Shabbos begins, when Shabbos departs, Havdalah is a mitzvah in HaTorah, its source, Zachar Yom HaShabbos Lakadsho. If that's the case, we know the Gemara tells us women are obligated in Zachar Yom HaShabbos Lakadsho. Therefore, the Rambam writes that women are obligated min haTorah not only in Kiddush, but even in Havdalah as well. But not all Rishonim agree. There are Rishonim that maintain that Shuvas HaRosh, the view of Rabbeinu Tam, the view of the Archos Chaim, that Kiddush is a mitzvah daraisa. The mitzvah is to mikadei Shabbos b'chnisaso, b'yitziaso, to acknowledge the fact that Shabbos has departed, that is only a mitzvah d'rabbanon. In fact, last year we mentioned that perhaps this is rooted in the very essence of the purpose of Kiddush. Whether the mitzvah of Kiddush is Zochreyu Zechira Shevach v'Kiddush, as the Rambam writes, or is a mitzvah lahakdisho, in case one can distinguish between Kiddush versus Havdalah. So machlokas Rishonim, whether Havdalah is midaraisa, whether Havdalah is drabanon. If it's a mitzvah midaraisa, rooted in the pasuk of Zachar Yom HaShabbos Lakadsho, men and women alike are obligated in Havdalah. But if you should assume that Havdalah is only a mitzvah drabanon, now the following question, is this a mitzvah seisha hazman grama, Or is that not the case? And even if he'll argue, good, didn't we see the Kiddush of the Ran? That Zachar v'shamar b'dibur echad nemru is not only limited to Kiddush, but it applies to all aspects of Shabbos, even Shalosh Shudos, even Lech Mishnah. Those are mitzvos of Shabbos. However, when it comes to Havdalah, to mark the fact that Shabbos now has left, in such an instance, maybe one can argue that that's not included in Zachar v'shamar Shabbos l'kadsho, not midaraisa nor midrabanan. The Magid Mishnah writes in Perachav Tesef of Shabbos that no, all agree that women are obligated in Havdalah. If you assume Havdalah is a mitzvah midaraisa, certainly yes, but even if you assume Havdalah is a mitzvah drabanan, we have the principle, of course, that koma de tikkun rabanan kein daraisa tikkun. Every takana drabanan is an extension of that which exists min haTorah. And even if you should assume that Havdalah is only midrabanan, not rooted directly in that pasuk of Zachar v'shamar Shabbos l'kadsho, but certainly midrabanan, it's an extension of the mitzvah of Zechira Shabbos, and therefore, whoever is obligated in Kiddush is obligated in Havdalah, and that's what the Magid Mishnah assumes, that this should not be a difference as to whether Havdalah is a mitzvah daraisa or a mitzvah drabanan. But not all Rishonim agree. Our Chos Chaim is of the opinion, number one, Havdalah is drabanan. Number two, Havdalah is a mitzvah seisha azman grama, and therefore women are exempt. This is a view that the Rama quotes in the very end of Siman Reish Sadi Vav, the sheet of Our Chos Chaim, the possibility that women are exempt from Havdalah. And then the Rama writes a very great Kiddush, that Al Kain, lo yavdilu noshim la'atzman, Elayishmu min ha'anashim. Therefore, a common practice that women do not make Havdalah themselves, but rather women should hear Havdalah from men. That's a very great Kiddush in the following. Number one, as we mentioned, most Rishonim assume that women are obligated in Havdalah. Number two, even if they are in fact exempt. Is that really the case that women who are exempt from mitzvah cannot perform that mitzvah or cannot recite the bracha? We discussed many times the machlokas between the Rambam versus the Balei Tosfos, Rabbeinu Tam. The Rambam is of the opinion in Perek Gimel Hilchos Chasidus that if women are exempt, they can opt into Zman Grama but do not recite a bracha at all. But Tosfos disagrees, and Tosfos maintains that's not true. In fact, the machlokas, the Mechaber, and the Rambam Hilchos Chasidus, and the Rambam mentions that's the Negashkaras, when women are hearing shofar, when they sit in sukkah, when they're not to lulav and esrog, a bracha in fact can be recited b'toras, eino mitzvah v'yalse. The takana of bracha is not only a function of obligation, but even eino mitzvah v'yalse can recite a bracha as well. And yet, here the Rama writes, lo yavdil atzman, ela yishmu min hanashim. Why in fact should that be true? So the Magen Avraham writes the following possibility, although the Magen Avraham acknowledges that this is difficult, but he mentions this as a possibility to understand the Psak Halacha of the Rama. Maybe it's based on the following. All those other examples of Eino Mitzvah Yosa, reciting a bracha, are cases where there is a Maisa HaMitzvah, and then there is a secondary bracha. Then perhaps one can assume that once the Maisa HaMitzvah is being performed, the Yeshiva B'Sukkah, the Netilas Dalet Minim, in such an instance then, a bracha can be recited. But if you are dealing with a case where the entire scope of the mitzvah is simply a chiyuv bracha, maybe then even the Rama would argue that a bracha should not be recited without an obligation. That's the possibility that the Magen Avraham writes in Siman Reish Sadi Vav, although the Magen Avraham acknowledges that this is difficult. And the Magen Avraham tells you to look elsewhere, to look in Aruch Chaim in Siman Tav Chav Vav. Tav Chav Vav is Kiddush Levana. There also, the Rama cites the fact that women do not recite Kiddush Levana. Why is that the case? Magen Avraham suggests, aside from reasons Alpi Nistar, maybe the following reason, Alpi Nigla. And that is very simply, that if in fact women are exempt from Kiddush Levana, why should they be exempt from Kiddush Levana? Magen Avraham writes, Kiddush Levana also is a mitzvah seisha azman grama. That also not so simple. Why is that true? Because when you can recite this bracha is calendar based, sometimes yes, sometimes no. That renders it a zman grama. This is a zman grama which is entirely a nusach bracha, and therefore perhaps that women do not recite. Interesting Kiddush. Magen Avraham again assumes that the halacha, this is not necessarily the case, even though ideally when it comes to Havdalah, Yishmu min hanashim, but bottom line, if in fact women do not hear Havdalah for a man. We assume that women should in fact recite Havdalah. They should make Havdalah. After all, according to Rov Hirshonim, women are obligated in Havdalah, whether it's Daraisa, whether in fact it is Drabanan. Rabbi Kiveger does have the following Ha'ara, that the bracha of Bore Ma'ore Ha'esh, that is questionable to what extent that's an inherent part of Havdalah, and a further question whether women are obligated in that bracha. Therefore, Rabbi Kiveger suggests the following. When it comes to the bracha al Ha'esh, therefore women who are making Havdalah should not recite that particular bracha in order that there shouldn't be a hefsik in between the Bari HaPeragafen and the drinking of the wine. But even according to the Rabbi Kiveger, Lachora, that would mean they don't recite the bracha of Eish in the context, in the framework of the Havdalah, but after the Havdalah is over, then that bracha can be recited. Let's assume, for example, Tisha B'Av falls out on Sunday, or we're not going to make Havdalah ala kosan Motzei Shabbos, but the bracha of Eish could be recited independently. That bachor would be true even according to Rabbi Kiveger regarding the chiddush of that particular bracha. So that's the chiddush, in fact, that the Magen Avraham mentions. It's a topic for another shiur, but it's even a chiddush that the Magen Avraham writes that you should treat Kiddush Levana as a mitzvah shazman grama. Because after all, there's certain mitzvahs that it's true that are rooted in time. But not because of a pasuk. Like when it comes to tefillin, for example, that perhaps tefillin is only during the day, not at night, or only on chol, not on Shabbos, and yontiv. Some mitzvahs are rooted in time simply pragmatically. Because based on the definition of the mitzvah, it can only be fulfilled now and not then. If the mitzvah of Kiddush Levana is to be Mekadesh Levana b'chidusho, so in such a case, then when you're at the second half of the month, where the Levana is waning, no longer waxing, in such a case, then that is not the mitzvah. Is that called the mitzvah shazman grama? Perhaps zman grama means the following. In principle, the mitzvah could have applied by its essence, by its definition, day and night, Shabbos and Chol. The Torah excludes a window of time. That's zman grama. If, however, there is a mitzvah where, by the very definition of the mitzvah, it only makes sense to apply at a particular time, like Bikurim, for example. The mitzvah Bikurim is Reishis Pri Hadama. So certain times of the year, that is no longer the first crop. So obviously there's no chiyuv of Bikurim. Does that make Bikurim mitzvah seisha hazman grama? Rabbi Kiveger and Shagasari point out it doesn't seem that that's true. After all, the Mishnayos discuss women reciting kriyas ha-Bikurim. But should women be exempt from mikra Bikurim based on the fact that it's a zman grama? Because it can only apply for a certain window of time. If that time element is a function of the definition of the mitzvah, maybe that is not considered to be a zman grama at all. But this is a possibility, in fact, that the Magen Avraham writes. There in Shulchan Aruch, in Tav Chavav, when the Magen Avraham makes that comment regarding Kiddush Levana, on the bottom of the daf, the Chacham Shlomo points out that difficulty, that perhaps Kiddush Levana is not a mitzvah seisha hazman grama at all. One of the further differences, in terms of this obligation of Havdalah, Daraisa Drabanan, hinges on the following issue as well. Why is it that we don't recite Havdalah on Motzai Yantif Rishon? We observe today's of Yantif. We've discussed in earlier Shiurim, again, that this is Yantif Midaraisa, Yom Rishon. And the second day of Yantif is because of Megav Asenu Biyadeinu. So therefore, we observe a second day of Yantif. So I understand Lechumra. One can observe a second day of Yantif. But can that be Lekula? Can the observance of the second day of Yantif exempt you from a mitzvah, a mitzvah d'araisa, a mitzvah d'rabanan? The Gemara, in fact, does tell us in Beitza and Daf Dalad Mabeis that Rav Asi made Havdalah in between Yantif Rishon and Yantif Sheni. There's a mitzvah Havdalah. You have a Yantif d'araisa, followed by Yantif of Minag V'Oseinu Biyadeinu, so of course you're obligated to recite Havdalah. Let's assume, for example, Yantif is on Sunday. So you're obligated to acknowledge some Havdalah going from the Kedusha of Shabbos to Kedusha of Yantif, both of which are Daraisa. But if you're going from a higher Kedusha to a lower Kedusha of Shabbos Yantif, Havdalah is required. So if you're going from a Kedusha Daraisa to a Yantif, which is Minag Avoseinu Biyadeinu, shouldn't there be a requirement of Havdalah? So the Gemara tells us, Rav Asi maintained that yes, of course our practice is not to make Havdalah at all between Yantif Rishon and Yantif Sheni. The question is, why in fact is this true? See, if you assume Havdalah in its essence is only Dirabanan, so therefore one could certainly play down this kasha. After all, if it's a mitzvah Dirabanan, so hey mamru, the Chachamim that told us to observe a second day of Yontif, and the Chachamim were so careful that we don't do anything that would result in degrading the Kedushas Hayom of Yontif Sheni Shagalios, did not want us to make Havdalah in between Yontif Rishon and Yontif Sheni. That would almost defeat the purpose of Yontif Sheni, as though we'll publicly demonstrate that now it is not really Yontif at all, and therefore no Havdalah is recited. But if you should assume that Havdalah is a mitzvah d'araisa, that's more difficult. Perhaps one could argue as follows, and this is what's discussed again in Magid Mishnah, discussed in the Shitu Kubetzis and Beitz and Daf Dalet. Maybe even if Havdalah is d'araisa, maybe that's only on Shabbos, but not when it comes to Yontif. It's even a machlokas or shonim regarding Kiddush. Even though it's explicit that the mitzvah of Kiddush on Shabbos is d'araisa, what about Kiddush when it comes to Yontif? Many know say Kalim, the Magid Mishnah, for example, in the Rambam comments that Havdalah and Kiddush on Yontif is only Drabanan. Reb Chaim maintained that the Rambam sheet is not that way. Because the Rambam in Perech of Tesef of Shabbos, when the Rambam tells us that there's a mitzvah derais of Kiddush, the Rambam continues in Kishem Shemitkanshin B'Shabbos. But just as there's a mitzvah on Shabbos, so too when it comes to Yontif. Why is that true? Because Shekulam Shabbos Hashem Hein. Because even Yontif is a day of Shabbos. Yontif is referred to as Shabbos as well. Shabbos means a day in which we refrain. A Shvisa HaNikeres. That's why Machras HaShabbos means, regarding Sfiras Omer, the day after Yontif. Because after all, Shabbos means a day in which you refrain. A mitzvah of Shabbosa. That applies when it comes to Shabbos and Yontif. V'karasa LeShabbos Oneg. The Rambam writes in Perek Vav Hilchos Yontif. The mitzvah of Oneg only applies on Shabbos. There's no mitzvah of Oneg when it comes to Yontif. The Rambam writes, Kav Yonag apply on Shabbos as well as when it comes to Yantif. And therefore, Pashup Shan, the Rambam of Chaim explained that this mitzvah of Zechira Shabbos applies even when it comes to Yantif as well. So if indeed you assume that there is a mitzvah of Kiddush and Havdalah on Yantif, which is a mitzvah daraisa, that is somewhat difficult. Why is it then that we don't recite Havdalah between Yantif Rishon and Yantif Sheni? So maybe one could argue as follows. We alluded in the last year to the Chiddush of the Gemara Pesachim and Daf Kuvav. What is the window of time of Havdalah? Starting with Shabbos. A person should make Havdalah on Motzai Shabbos. Let's assume a person did not do so. He failed to make Havdalah on Motzai Shabbos. So the Gemara has two different nuschos. If a person did not make Havdalah on Motzai Shabbos, Mavdil v'holeich, a person can continue with Havdalah, either Kol Hayom Kulo, the entire day, or Kol HaShabbos Kulo, literally the entire Shabbos. If you assume Kol HaYom Kulo, that means you have the day to make Havdalah. This is the Psak Halach of many Rishonim. The Ramban, for example, suggests that if Tisha B'Av falls out on Sunday, you don't make Havdalah Al HaKos on that Shabbos. After all, the window of time for Havdalah, even on Shabbos, is only Kol HaYom Kulo, all of Yom Rishon. If Yom Rishon is Tisha B'Av, and therefore Havdalah Lakos is impossible, there's no Havdalah Lakos. It'll simply be Mavdil B'Tfilah. That is the sheet of the Ramban. We assume that that's not true. Not Mavdil B'Holei Kol Hayom Kulo, but Mavdil B'Holei Kol HaShabbos Kulo. And what does that mean? The Ran and Tosus explain the following. That the coming week is divided into two halves, as you know. The first days of the week still are associated with the preceding Shabbos. The latter half of the week with the coming Shabbos, and therefore Sunday, Monday, Tuesday is still considered to be a time of a Havdalah as well. As I mentioned last week, when we recite the Shir Shoyom, we acknowledge on Yom Ravim, Chunar Anana, as though there's a shift in the focus of the week. Now we have begun those days of the week that are associated with the coming Shabbos, not with the preceding Shabbos. And therefore, Mavdo V'Holei Kol HaShabbos Kulo. Havdalah can be made on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Therefore, for example, when it comes to Tisha B'Av, it falls out on Sunday, so Havdalah HaKos will make and Motzai Tisha B'Av. Mavdo V'Holei Kol HaShabbos Kulo. Fascinating issue. How do you understand that Kiddush? That a person can make Havdalah Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. How is that possible? We discussed in earlier Shiurim at length during the summer. When it comes to tefillah, for example, there's such a concept of tefillah bizmana, and then as the Gemara has in Brachos Navchavah, there's a concept of a tefillah tashlumin. A person should daven bizmana. If a person does not, is all lost, not necessarily, there can still be a kiyum of tefillah chutz lizmano b'toras tashlumin. Is this uniquely true when it comes to tefillah? After all, Tosfos commented in Brachos Avchavav Amar Aleph that tefillah is rachamininhu, and halavai shispalam kolyam kula, a person can always be mevakesh rachamim, and hence the possibility of a tefillas nedava, a tefillas tashlumin. What about when it comes, for example, to Kiddush, but when it comes to Havdalah? A person fails to make Kiddush on Friday night. They'll tell a person make Kiddush during the day of Shabbos. Is that part of the Zman HaMitzvah of Kiddush? Or should one argue that no, that really is considered to be a makeup, a form of Tashlumin? The Mitzvah of Kiddush should be B'Knisas HaShabbos. If not, then there's an opportunity to make up that missed obligation. One could argue perhaps the same thing when it comes to Havdalah. Maybe the Zman of Havdalah is B'Yetzias HaShabbos and Motzoi Shabbos. And if a person does not do so, it is true, you still can fall back on the Gemara of Mavda V'Holei Kol HaShabbos Kulo, but not B'Torah Sikar HaChiv, but rather B'Torah Tashlumin. Interesting finish. Now, how do you understand a person who makes Havdalah on Tuesday? Is that the Zman Havdalah or is that not? What would happen if a person is exempt from Havdalah on Motzoi Shabbos? And now he's no longer exempt from Havdalah on Monday or Tuesday. Would you insist that that person make Havdalah now, Mavdalah Kol HaShabbos Kulo? Or would you argue that no, all of that is a fallback position that emanated from the time of obligation on Motzei Shabbos? And if you were exempt on Motzei Shabbos, then you are exempt from the mitzvah of Havdalah. This is a machlokas between the Maharam and the Rosh. Rami Rutenberg and the Rush discussed this in two different places with two different applications. In Brachos, in Paragimel, Simon Beis, in Moed Katan, right? In Paragimel, the Rush has 100 simanim, Matochos Avelus. In Paragimel, in Simon Tzadivav, the Rush discusses this parallel machlokis as well. A person, Rachman Litzon, is in a state of aninus, Mishamesa Mutalafana. And now that owning is exempt from Havdalah on Motzai Shabbos. Rashi writes the exemption of Misha Mesa Mutalafanav is because Osek B'mitzvah Potem and a mitzvah, and also cites the Rishalmi Kavod HaMeis. It's not appropriate in that state to now involve yourself in other mitzvahs. Focus on the Tzarchei HaMeis, the Tzarchei HaKvura. Now let's assume the Kvura occurs, let's say for argument's sake, on Monday. Now the following question, is this person obligated to make Havdalah? He was exempt Motzoi Shabbos. Is he obligated in Havdalah here and now? This is the machlokas, Maharam and the Rush. The Rush writes that that individual is exempt from Havdalah. It's true that if you were obligated Motzei Shabbos, that was a missed opportunity, a missed obligation, then you have the ability to make Havdalah Monday, Tuesday. If a person was exempt, in that instance, then there is no chiyuv of Havdalah. And Rami Rutenberg disagrees and argues that's not true. If the Gemara tells us, Mavdo v'holeich kol HaShabbos kulo, that would mean, good, a person is exempt on Motzei Shabbos, he doesn't make it then. A person is obligated on Monday and Tuesday. Now that individual is obligated to recite Havdalah, that's our Psak Halach and Shin Mem Aleph, that a person who is an owning Motzei Shabbos makes Havdalah, Lachar HaKvura, based on the Psak Halach of Marami Rittenberg. The Minchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Lamed Aleph writes, this is indeed the Machlokes, whether it's considered to be a form of a tashlumin, whether we view the broader window of time from Motzei Shabbos until Shkia on Tuesday as the Shas Chavasa of the Mitzvah of Havdalah, and the difference would be if a person becomes obligated in the midpoint, even though he was exempt on Motzei Shabbos. The fascinating parallel machlokes between Maram and the Rush, that in Moed Katan, is the following. What happens if Rachman Litzlan a Katan, right, loses a Karov? And then Viniz Gadel, the Katan becomes the Gadol, in the middle of Shiva, in Shloshim, in Beis Chodesh. What are the Nihugi Avelos? Do we argue that, look, all Chiyuvi Avelos emanate from Kvura Stima Sagolel, and at that time, that individual was exempt, that exemption carries out? Or do you argue that's not true? And here you have opposite views. The Rush writes the following Chiddush, that if this individual was a cut in the time of the Kvura, so in such an instance, if he becomes a Gadol during Shiva or Shloshim, he's still exempt. Rami Rittenberg writes the following Chiddush, a Katan was a Katan at the time of the Kvura, but the Katan, let's say, observed Shiva. He was a Katan, he observed Shiva. All of a sudden he becomes a Gadol during Shloshim. He's obligated to observe Shiva again, After all, it's as though Al Pidin, he just became an Avel. It's as though it was a Shmua Krova. What he did before, he was not obligated to do. Now that he is obligated, it's as though the Shiva commences now. That's the extreme position of Rami Rittenberg. It parallels the case of Havdal in the following sense. When you have a broader window of time, such as the opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah Havdalah or Nihugi Avelos that span many days or many months, do we view each interval as its own mechayiv, so to speak, that all of that is considered to be part of the Chovas Havdalah? Or do we argue that no, everything emanates from the initial Yetzias HaShabbos, from the Stimas HaGolel, and therefore if one is exempt at that time, the exemption carries through. Of course, what you assume when it comes to Havdalah, you don't have to assume when it comes to Avelus. One could argue regarding Havdalah that everything emanates from the Stimas HaGolel, from the Yetzias HaShabbos. Maybe that's not true of Havdalah. Even though the two views seem to parallel, and it so happens that the Rush is consistent and Marama Rittenberg is consistent, one in fact could split. In fact, lahalacha, we split. We assume the chumrah, so to speak, like Marama Rittenberg when it comes to Havdalah, but we don't follow Marama Rittenberg when it comes to issues of Avelus. One in fact could argue that when it comes to Havdalah, all that is considered to be part of the broader window, the obligation of Havdalah, but when it comes to Havdalah, everything is true. When it comes to the mitzvah of Avelus, everything emanates from the kvura, from the stima sagola. The reason that's relevant for us especially is because of the following issue. Does this help us at all when it comes to Havdalah on Yontif? If a person does not make Havdalah on Motzei Yontif, is he also afforded that possibility of a few days to make up that obligation? This is not explicit in that machlokas, Rishonim Imsachim Rav Kuvav. And this is several days that you find in Birkei Yosef, in Simen Reish Sadi Aleph. How does this translate when it comes to Yontif? On Shabbos, of course, it makes sense. If you tell me the coming week is divided into two halves, so therefore you have the possibility of Havdalah until Shki on Tuesday. But is that true when it comes to Yontif? That somehow that the following days are still associated with the preceding Yontif, and that should be relevant when it comes to Havdalah. Rabbi Kveger points out in Reish Sadi Tes, that's not true. You don't have a three-day window of time when it comes to Havdalah on Yontif. What do you have? Here Rabbi Kveger does admit, as I alluded to in the last shiur, that there is somewhat of an extended period of time, because after all, Yom Holech Achar HaLaila, the day follows the night. And therefore, if the mitzvah Havdalah begins at night, therefore that means a person can make Havdalah from the night and to continue during the next day as well. That would mean you have Motzei Yontif at night, and you have the next day until Shkia. That's Rabbi Kveger assumes Mahalacha. You don't have any other time than that. So on Shabbos, a person is afforded 3 days. On Yontif, you have the night and the coming day until Shkia, and that is all. That's the Psak Halacha of Rabbi Kveger. Rabbi Kveger seems to appoint to the following Chiddush, that irrespective of what you assume, this is an important Chiddush, in light of this, we'll have to reassess at our nafkamina, irrespective of what you assume when it comes to Monday and Tuesday. Monday and Tuesday may only be Tashlumin, but Sunday is Yom Holech Achar HaLaila, and that applies even when it comes to Yontif as well. That's an important Chiddush. That even the view, for example, of the Rush that maintains that one would be potter in the case of Aninus, the possibility of arguing that maybe there should be a split as to whether the kfur would occur on Sunday or whether the kfur occurs on a Monday or Tuesday. If the kfur is on a Monday or Tuesday, so then that's Tashlumin. So then, if you're exempt Motzei Shabbos, you're exempt. If, however, the Havdalah, right, was not recited Motzei Shabbos, that the kfur is Sunday, maybe on Sunday we should assume that certainly is the Ikar Achiyuv, because Yom Holech Achar HaLaila, like when it comes to Yontif. What's striking is the case that the Rush and Marmara debate is when the crew was on a Sunday. That was their context. Even then the Rush comments that if you're exempt on Motzei Shabbos, one is exempt even on Sunday as well. One could have suggested that distinction. Just like on Yontif, Yom Holech Achar HaLaila, maybe then in fact you wouldn't be obligated. The Rush seems to assume that the Mechayiv of Havdalah, very reasonably, is Yetzias HaShabbos, and therefore, if you are exempt at that particular time, then that exemption, in fact, remains. The reason this is relevant to our Yontif issue is the following. The fact that we make Havdalah at the conclusion of Yontif Sheni Shel Galios, is that going to help resolve our difficulty? If you assume as one day in Birkei Yosef, in Reish Sadi Aleph, that just as there's an expanded window of time, when it comes to Shabbos, so too when it comes to Yontif, then maybe one could argue that we cover the Chiyuv of Havdalah by the Havdalah that we recite on Motzei Yontif Sheni Shel Galios. But if you assume, as Rabbi Kveger writes, as pointed out, that's generally how we assume Mahalacha, that one does not have any added time except for that night and that day, then we have that difficulty. Why is it that we don't recite Havdalah on Motzei Yontif Rishon? After all, we're going from the Kedusha Daraisa to that which is only Drabana, Minagav Asenu Biadeinu. One possibility is mentioned, Havdalah is only a mitzvah Drabana. And if Havdalah is only a mitzvah Drabana, Sahim Amru, Behim Amru. But if you should assume that Havdalah is a mitzvah Daraisa, again, this is a difficult, difficult kasha. Unless you're going to assume the following, that all of this is really part of the takan of Yontif Sheni Shel Galios, part of almost an akira, seven min haTorah. Let me ask you the following. We don't put on tefillin on Yontif Sheni Shel Galios. Why don't we do so? That's not so simple. The Gemara doesn't address that issue explicitly, but there is a tshuva of Rashi. Well, of course, in Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber writes that you don't put tefillin on Shabbos, you don't put tefillin on Yontif, you don't put tefillin on Yontif Sheni Shel Galios. That's a fascinating model. Why is that true? Tefillin, isn't that a mitzvah daraisa? And now because of minagav osenu biyadeinu, we're not going to put tefillin on and be mevatel the mitzvah daraisa. So the tshuva of Rashi writes a chiddush that this is a further example of akiras davar min haTorah. That just like we're not going to be no to lulav and esrog when Sukkos falls on Shabbos, or be tokeh b'shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos, we're not going to put on tefillin on Yontif Sheni Shel Galios because yesh koach b'yad chachamim lakor davar min haTorah. That's a very great chiddush. If you're going to put on tefillin on Yontif Sheni Shel Galios, it's going to defeat the whole purpose of Yontif Sheni Shel Galios. People will treat it as chol, not treat it as Yontif. Sometimes we experience that when it comes to Chol HaMoed, no? People will go to work because of Heter Mevgavar Haved. Many will have a minig, for example, Nachlokas Rishonim, about putting on tefillin Chol HaMoed. Sometimes when you have those practices, the day is treated as though it's considered to be absolute chol. Now the Chachamim were apparently conscious of this when it comes to Yontif Sheni Shel Galios, and therefore insisted that there is no Hanochas Tefillin. Because kehechidasi lizuzulibe, not to degrade the kedusha sayon of Yontif Sheni Shel Galios. That's what the Tshuva Rashi writes. That's our practice. Maybe one has to argue that just as the Tshuva Rashi writes, that's true when it comes to tefillin. Maybe this is also true when it comes to the mitzvah of Havdalah. What's difficult with that approach is the following: is that really true that yesh koach biyarcham lakar davar min haTorah? The Chachamim have a categorical right to tell you not to fulfill a mitzvah. Well, there are many examples. That's Sugin Yavamos and Avtzari when Beis, right? The Levin Estrog and Shofar, Sadim Betitis, many such examples. But what do they all have in common? And that doesn't apply apparently when it comes to the Havdalah. Yesh Koach Be'er Chachamim, period. What's the source of Yesh Koach Be'er Chachamim Lakar Davar Min haTorah? It's fascinating. The Gemara doesn't ever quote the Makar. The Gemara does not quote the source for Yesh Koach Be'er Chachamim Lakar Davar Min haTorah. The Rambam at Perek Beis of Chosmar mentions two different Makaros, a Pasuk and a Svara. The Pasuk, the Rambam writes, is Vishomra B'nei Yisrael HaShabbos. Why? Lasos Es HaShabbos Arosam B'Yisolam. What does that mean? That's the drush of the Gemara in the Reina Maseches Yuma. Chalel Shabbos Achas Kedei Sheyishmor Shabbos HaSarbe. No? That's the concept of Migdar Milsa. Chalel Shabbos Achas Kedei Sheyishmor Shabbos HaSarbe. That's one of the makaros the Gemara suggests Yuma Dafehem and Beis, the source of Pikuach Nefesh. How do you know Pikuach Nefesh is Docha Shabbos? The answer is Chalal Shabbos Achas. It's worth, so to speak, Chilo Shabbos of a single Shabbos, Kedei Sheyishmor Shabbos HaSarbe. And that's what the Rambam quotes as the basis of Akiras Sefer Min haTorah. In other words, we're not just telling you don't fulfill a mitzvah. Right? It's a balance. It's risk-benefit. Now, it is worth suspending the mitzvah of Lulav or Shofar in order to safeguard Shabbos. Chalal Shabbos Achas, Kedei Sheyishmor Shabbos HaSarbe. That's the Rambam's reasoning. It's a fascinating topic for another shiur, that the Rambam quotes that, Chalos Shabbos Achas. The Gemara seems to reject that offhand. The Gemara says that's not the makar of Pikuach Nefesh. The makar of Pikuach Nefesh, you know, is the drasha of Shmuel, the Chai Bohem. So you read the simple Toshav Shan, the Gemara, it would appear that Lamaskana, the Gemara assumes the Chai Bohem. And yet the Rambam quotes the drasha of Shimon ben Asya, the Shema ben Yisrael HaShabbos. Right, it's an important issue to assess that the Gemara doesn't reject the drasha of Shimon ben Asya. That's true. With many nafkaminas lahalacha. One of them is Akira, Seven Minat Torah. And then the Rambam gives the following swara. Keshem Shaharofe Chote Chaber Echad. Rachman Latzlam, sometimes a doctor has to make a difficult decision to amputate a limb to save his one body. So too, sometimes the Chacham have to make that Ashar as well. Sometimes we'll have to temporarily tell you not to fulfill a mitzvah. Kedesh Yishma Shabbos Asarbe. So the Rambam writes, that's true when it comes to the cases of Akira, Sever, Menat Torah. See, the difficulty then is the following. If you assume that Akira, Sever, Menat Torah is always the Migda Milsa, what does that mean? The Chacham were faced with the following. A mitzvah on the one hand, but a towering Yisud HaRais on the other hand, such as Shabbos. And therefore, the possibility that the mitzvah of Lulav can conflict with Shmir Shabbos, which will prevail. That's Akira, Sever, Menat Torah. No? Sadin betitzis. Sometimes wearing titzis can result in an issa d'oraisa of shatnez. The Gemara mentions that people were peddling false tcheles, chala de'ilon. So people would don the tcheles, thinking that they had the real tcheles. They would have a linen garment. They would wear wool strings because tcheles must be made of wool. They will be violating the issa of shatnez without properly fulfilling the mitzvah of tcheles and lavan. So the Chachamim declared sadin betitzis, don't affix any tzitzis at all on a linen garment. Unbelievable. Now that's the Gemara writes, Yivam Mosef, Sadim Abayz. We don't want you to put any tzitzis on a linen garment because we're afraid it will result in this Rav Shatnez. In fact, it's the Tshuvas Harash. This is what's discussed in Shulchan Aruch and Simen Ches. The Tshuvas Harash was surprised that he saw that people were wearing tzitzis on a linen garment. The Gemara says you shouldn't do so. That's a further example of Akira Stavra Minat Torah. Where a big adult comes from. But it's more important to safeguard shatnez, even at the expense of the mitzvah say of tzitzis. Whenever you have an Akira Stavra Minat Torah, there's always a balance, no? And we argue that the risk outweighs the benefit, and therefore it's more important to safeguard Shabbos than to risk Chilul Shabbos, no? And what about when it comes to Tefillin Yantar Sheni Shagalios? That Hashar is also true. What are we afraid of? A person will put on tefillin yantar sheni shagalios. So what are we afraid? If a person is putting on tefillin, you know what? He's going to start treating the day as chol. If this was a real yantif, I didn't wear tefillin yesterday. No, I'm wearing tefillin today. This really isn't yantif. And it'll be mezalzel the kedusha sayam of yantar sheni shagalios. Does that fit in with that picture of risk-benefit? No? The risk is the personal mevatel, the yantif, derabanan of minhag avosinu b'yadeinu. And that outweighs the mitzvah d'oraisa of tefillin, for example, or of havdalah. That's the aura of ksav sofer and others. Now, it's a great chiddush to assume akira sofer min haTorah in that context. Akira sofer min haTorah means that what is gained far outweighs what is lost. Here, you're dealing with, of course, yantif sheni shagalios. But on the scale of things, is it such a davar poshut that the risk of yantif sheni shagalios should result in being mevatel the mitzvah of tefillin? It's an interesting issue. Right? Havdalah, one could argue now, Havdalah is only derabanan, or Havdalah, a person has a broader window of time. But if you'll maintain Havdalah is daraisa, even on yantif, and you don't have any additional time, in such a case, this would further be an example of an Akira Sefer Min HaTorah, as when it comes to tefillin. We'll have to learn more about tefillin, whether in fact this is true, that this is considered to be an Akira Sefer Min HaTorah. What is the gedder of tefillin? What is the obligation of tefillin? Is the fact that one must wear tefillin every moment of each day, except for night or except for Shabbos, is that the mitzvah d'oraisa? The fact that a person must wear tefillin at least once a day, each and every day, is that so clear that that is the chiyuv d'oraisa of tefillin? Because tefillin is a very interesting model where the Torah tells us to fulfill the mitzvah, but you'll ask me, how often do I do so? Very unclear. Not machlokes tanaim, whether laila is zman tefillin. We paskim midaraisa laila is zman tefillin. The Rambam paskins Laila is lav zman tefillin midaraisa. We paskin that Laila is zman tefillin. It's just a gzeirah drabanan shem yishin bahem, that we're afraid a person may fall asleep in his tefillin and not preserve the kedushas tefillin. Shabbos and Yontif, we assume, is lav zman tefillin. So aside from that exclusion of Shabbos and Yontif, what is the obligation of tefillin? Toward tefillin constantly, and that's the mitzvah daraisa. And the fact that we don't put on tefillin at night because of the gzeirah shenishah bahen, that also is not kira serving the Torah. Because the mitzvah daraisa is to wear tefillin constantly. Maybe tefillin, right, is somewhat different in terms of the scope, the parameters of the mitzvah of hanachas tefillin. That we'll have to discuss as well. But this is very relevant when it comes to Havdalah. Bottom line, we don't recite Havdalah at that particular time. And the reason, she talking about this, right, is kehechid los lizuzuleba. We don't want it to degrade, right, the Kedusha Seim of Yantif. Even another example, we recite Brachos on Yantif Sheni Shagalios. No? Isn't that a Chiddush? No, we're only observing the Yantif because Minag HaVaseinu B'Yadeinu. And yet Brachos, in fact, are recited. So the Gemara tells us on Shabbos, Kehechid Lasi L'Zuzuleba. Right? We recite a Bracha nonetheless. What potentially could be a Bracha She'enot Tzricha? No. Tosus writes, a Bracha She'enot Tzricha is only Nisar Durabana. This daraisa of losisa is when a person makes a shvua shav. Then the Gemara tells us in brachos that if a person recites a bracha shino tzricha, that is a violation of losisa. But Rov Rishonim assume that's only true midrabanan, not at all midaraisa. The Rambam seems to imply that a bracha shino tzricha is an iser daraisa. Very great finish. We normally assume that a bracha shino tzricha is an iser drabanan because midaraisa it's not really shino tzricha. No? After all, a person is not drinking, but he recites the bracha of shakal. Midaraisa, that's beautiful. Divrei shevach. No? That's not an iser lav. The most that could be, Tosfos writes, is an iser derabanan, that you're using the matbeya that the chachamim coined for the purpose of bracha just for divrei shevach and divrei shevach alone. But yet, right, that's not an iser daraisa. In fact, the Gemara tells us in Temura, on Daf Dalid, if a person yells out a Shem Hashem for no reason whatsoever, terrible. No? What does he violate? What is it? That's not an Isra of Losisa. Losisa is in the context of a Shvua Shav. If a person yells out a Shem Hashem for no reason at all, that's an essay, the Gemara says. Es Hashem Lokecha Tira. You're supposed to revere the Shem Hashem. That's not reverence. A person just yells out a Shem Hashem for no reason whatsoever. So if a person makes a shvua shav, that's losisa. If a person just simply yells a shem Hashem for no reason at all, that's a daraisa, but that's an essay. Es Hashem Elokecha tira. So I'll ask you, what is better, what is worse? A person yells out a shem Hashem for no reason whatsoever. Another person is not drinking, but he sincerely recites a beautiful sheva. A bracha of shakoni abidvaro. That's worse than another instance. How can it be that yelling the Shem Hashem for no reason is an essay, and a bracha shino tzricha is worse, it's a lav? How can that be? And that's what Tosfos assumes. That's only an asmachta. That can only be an iser derabanan. The worst is a shvua invoking Shem Hashem, a shvua shav. Then, saying the Shem Hashem for no reason is an essay. A bracha shino tzricha is an iser derabanan. That hierarchy makes perfect sense. If you argue that bracha shino tzricha is daraisa, a very great chiddush, why that should be worse at all than just saying Hashem Hashem for no reason at all. And yet the Gemara tells us, nonetheless, whatever this Isra Bracha Shein Tzrich is, we're going to make sure to recite a Bracha and Yantar Shein Shagalos. Ki Hechi Delasi Lezuzulema. This is an important factor when it comes to differences in Havdalah being Daraisa and Havdalah being Darabanan. We'll have to discuss the following issue. Before a person makes Havdalah, the Gemara tells us there are a couple of Isurim. Number one, a person is not allowed to eat or drink. Number two, a person is not allowed to engage in malacha. Why is that true? Why is it that you cannot do malacha before Havdalah? Here one could suggest two very different possibilities. One possibility is the following. If you didn't make Havdalah, it's still Shabbos. So therefore, the Isurei malacha still extend. Another possibility is very, very different. You're not supposed to eat or drink before Havdalah because it's still Shabbos. Not because it's still Shabbos. When a person is faced with a mitzvah, a person should not be kovei asuda or eat and drink prior to the opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah. The Gemara says the same thing when it comes to malacha. The Gemara Bracha, so the Mishnah Sukkah, Daf Lamed Ches, before a person has an opportunity to fulfill a mitzvah, a person should not engage in malacha. Aslada nasas chafetz of kodem shispalo. A person shouldn't wake up in the morning and start doing malacha. A person should immediately daven. Interesting chiddush. Maybe the reason malacha is forbidden before Havdalah is not because it is still Shabbos, but rather it's because there is a mitzvah Havdalah. And before you fulfill the mitzvah of Havdalah, a person should not engage in malacha. That would open up the following possibility then. When we say there is an Isser malacha before Havdalah, is it necessarily Lamites malachas? Or is there a different definition of malacha entirely? Or, for example, a person says, Hamavdo ben kodesh lachol. Has he marked the fact that Shabbos is over? Yes. Has he fulfilled the mitzvah of Havdalah? Not necessarily. He still has to go home and make Havdalah. Would it make sense to argue that even after Baruch Hamavdil, there still is an Isser Malacha, because the mitzvah Havdalah is not yet fulfilled? Or maybe one could argue, but if that's true, it's not Lamites Malachos, it's the type of Malachos that a person should not engage in, for example, before he davens in the morning. So there's no issue of turning on a light or driving to shul, but a person cannot engage in those malachos that will detract him from the tefillah. So maybe that's true when it comes to Havdalah as well. This the Brisker Rav explains as in Machlokas Rishonim. What is the mechayi? What is driving the issur of malacha before Havdalah? Is it in some sense that Shabbos continues? Or do we assume that no, the issur malacha is noveh, it emanates, it's a function of the mitzvah Havdalah? So here we'll see that this should be a very relevant issue. And this will explain the balance of two different Havdalahs that we recite. One a Havdalah in Tefillah, and then Havdalah Malachos. So Bezras Hashem, in the next year, we'll continue with some of these aspects of Havdalah, and then we'll discuss some of the details in terms of the way in which Havdalah, in fact, is made. Should be here.